It's on. Okay. It's good. It's good. It's good. Good morning. Is it just me or are those lights brighter today? I feel like I'm blinded. I really loved the welcome this morning, Maria. I don't know where you're hiding, but just loved it. Thank you. This quarter, we're focusing on the theme of go. Today, I want to talk about better together, because some things are just better together. So let me give you some examples. Travel is better together. Solo travel is good too, but sometimes when you see something amazing, don't you want to turn to someone next to you and go, oh, wow, travel is great. This activity is better together. Because I don't know if you've tried to seesaw on your own. It's not as much fun. But really what I'm saying is just games, having fun. I mean, even board games are not so much fun alone. They are better together. Food is always better together. But also, some food combinations just work better together, like peanut butter and jam. Some may agree, some may not. Vegemite and cheese. I've had people say that they don't eat Vegemite and cheese. What's wrong with you? I've discovered Vegemite now makes gluten-free Vegemite. I had my children try it to tell me if it actually tastes like Vegemite, because I've forgotten what Vegemite kind of tastes like. Macaroni cheese, avocado and Vegemite. There are combinations that just are meant to be together. Some people just work better together. Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, Abbott and Costello. Yes, they are old, but they still were good. But for more contemporary, Johnny and Helena, so many movies together. You've got Sherlock Holmes and Watson. Some people just seem to work best on screen. What about these guys? They work better together, don't they? I wish he was here so I could embarrass him. But we work better together. Church works better together. Because really, by its very definition, church is a bunch of people. So you can't have a church if it's just one person or just a building. Church works better when we work together. We were built for relationships. We were built to be together. And in Genesis 2:18, God says it's not good for man to be alone. So much stuff is just better together, especially people stuff. Now, I want to share something with you, and this is something that hangs in my study. Because ministry is better together. And this collage behind me is something that I had to put together a couple of years ago when I travelled up to Avondale. The lecturer had this bunch of magazines, and she wanted us to actually build a collage of what ministry looks like for us. So there was four of us, and it's amazing because we produced four different collages, but this one is mine. And it's in my study because it reminds me about ministry, what I find important in my ministry. And I don't know how much you can see. There's some strange pictures up there, I know, but there are words which were significant to me. There's the identifying that there are challenges, that I want to do ministry with integrity, that I just have to be me. Naturally you. Me. I have to be me. There is a patchwork quilt there because ministry has so many different bits that get put together and create this beautiful picture. But you'll notice up in the top left-hand corner, there are two women who are obviously laughing at the funniest thing they've ever heard. But this picture really jumped out for me because I realised that ministry is about doing it with someone else because it's better together. And having the support of a trusted ally is really important in ministry because it can be hard, but it's also rewarding. And so having someone to share it with is important. You need someone to share the victories with And you need someone to share the challenges with, the joy and the sorrow and the excitement. That's right, be excited, be very excited. The excitement of seeing God work and move and shake and shine. Ministry is exciting, and it is so much more exciting when you've got someone to share it with. It is better together. And Jesus knew this. He gathered a team around him so that he could teach them, because Jesus knew that together is better. And when it was time to send out his disciples, do you know what Jesus did? Did he send them out alone? If you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 10, and that's where we're going to stay. So we're not going to flip around too much, but I'm going to read from Luke chapter 10, and I'm just going to start by reading Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. I'm just going to read it through so you can just listen or follow along. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" I want to talk about seven things in this passage today. And this is the list of those seven things. I want to talk about the idea of two by two, of working together in pairs. I want to talk about the harvest, the challenges, the idea of peace, hospitality, ministry, and the kingdom, and knowing when it's time to go. So here we go. Let's start with two by two. So this is found in verse 1, where after the Lord appointed 72, he sent them out two by two ahead of him. Jesus knows that better is together. Together is better. Firstly, I want you to note that he didn't just send the 12. So this isn't just his 12 disciples. In this passage, he sent out, depending which Bible version you might be reading, 70 or 72. He sent out more disciples. Ministry is not done just by the inner circle. It's not just done by the 12 disciples who were closest to Jesus. It's not just done by the two pastors or just the elders or just the board. Ministry is done by all. The goal is always to enable more and more people to get involved, to serve, to minister. We can all do ministry. Now notice that these disciples were sent ahead of Jesus. They were sent to prepare the way. But what I really want to highlight is that Jesus knew that together is better. Because a wise guy once said, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We are better together. Now, I was trying to remember how many years ago, and I'm looking at Marie, because Marie and I went on a little project many years ago where we decided to do a ministry at a girl's home. I think it was about 9 years ago. It was a long time ago. We would go off together every week and sit with this group of girls that lived in this home and just share some thoughts and life strategies with them. Now, if I would stumble in my words, Marie was able to jump in and we would spend time discussing the victories and the challenges of meeting with these girls. How much easier it is when we have someone by our side when we're doing ministry. But importantly, it's so good to have someone that you can lean into who can help when we sometimes don't know what to do. The model that Jesus gives us is two by two. It's a shame that so often ministry is seen as a lonely vocation because it's not meant to be. And so I want to encourage you today to look around and find a friend, a partner, could be a spouse, could even be one of your children, and recognize that you can go two by two and serve. And this brings me to point two. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The harvest. There is ministry everywhere. There are so many people searching. There are so many people who are seeking answers to life. And if you go on Google, lots of people are asking Google questions. So I did a bit of research this week, and according to Google, the top questions people ask about God and Christianity, so this was the top, I haven't got all the 100 here, but just it was a list of the top 100 questions people ask that are related to God. And these stats that I'm going to show you are a monthly search stat. So the numbers that you'll see in the column are actually a monthly search. Now, I hope this is going to be clear enough. Probably not. So let me tell you. The very first top question with 3,350,000 hits per month is, what is love? Isn't that interesting? The next one is, what is the Bible? 2,240,000 questions per month. What is the Bible? Who is Jesus is number three. What is the church? Who is God? What is the Big Bang? What is meditation? What is evolution? What is the Catholic Church? What is sin? What is a Christian is number 11. What is heaven? What is reality? Number 14, who am I? People are asking these questions every single day. The list goes on. What is scripture? Is God a God of love? What is the fear of God? What is salvation? People have a lot of questions. And I'm telling you, church, the harvest is real. People are looking for meaning and understanding in this world. Now, the week before, Yoshi shared with you some ways that we can get involved, really, that we can get involved in this harvest, that we can shake and shine. He talked about Knox InfoLink. We talked about Women's Housing Limited. We talked about the Knox Winter Sleepover, and we talked about Revelation Today. But church, there is so much more. It would be overwhelming to cover everything, but there is one Turner Primary School across the road who just love to engage with us. There is a community right there that's wanting to be served by us. There's playgroup, there's friendship group. We have opportunities for letterboxing and door knocking. There are ministries in our communities we can support, and there are ministries right in this church that we can support. The harvest is huge. The field is massive. There is ministry everywhere, but the workers are few. So Jesus says we need to ask for more workers, and the truth is we really, really do. What you discover when you enter the harvest is joy. Have you ever experienced that joy? I promise you there is joy when you can share it with someone else, and it is good because ministry is better together. And this brings me to point three, because yes, ministry does produce a lot of joy, but it also does have some challenges. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. These verses tell me that we will encounter challenges as we enter the harvest, and yet we are still told to go, exclamation mark. I didn't put that exclamation mark. The Bible put the exclamation mark. Go, exclamation mark. And the reason there is an exclamation mark there is because this verb is an imperative. It's a command. And in the Greek, this verb denotes an ongoing action. We don't just go once. It's an ongoing movement. We must go. We are commanded to keep going, exclamation mark. Even though there are challenges ahead. The challenges may be that we will be treated badly, that we may not always have the resources, nor should we wait to have all the resources. But the biggest challenge of all, I think, is distraction. Do not greet anyone on the road. Is that a strange sentence to you? Do not greet anyone on the road. This says to me that it is easy to get distracted on the way. And this is where together can be better. Because on my own, I know that distractions lead to a new level called procrastination. But two together can keep each other accountable. They can keep each other moving. However, we do need to ensure that our ministry partner will be someone who encourages us rather than distracts us. As Solomon said, the great thing about two is if that one falls down, the other one can help them up. We're at point four, peace. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. One of my favourite principles in ministry is to be a non-anxious presence. If you'd seen in the top of my collage, I've got the keep calm picture. In other words, I aim to bring a sense of peace. Not my peace, because I know that my peace is not really anything, but the peace of Jesus. It's important to have peace when we go, exclamation mark. This is just a mini point, but I wanted to bring it out because peace is also needed between the two who go out together. If your ministry partner and you have some beef, some argument, people will sense that and it will actually disrupt the peace or any efforts that you undertake. And so we need to bring peace, but we need to have peace. And we need to work with someone that we have peace with. This verse also tells us that we need to look to share with people who are open. Don't engage in arguments and debates. It doesn't get you anywhere. Our ministry needs to be filled with peace. We're sailing through point number five, hospitality. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered you. I'm not going to talk about food like you think I might. I'm going to talk about hospitality. Ministry takes time. It's about building friendships and building relationships. It's about connecting. And one of the best places to do that is around the table. There's no doubt about it. Jesus did a lot of ministry around a table and around food. But what I'm saying is be prepared to spend time with people in their homes, maybe in your home. Imagine if you decided to host a simple soup and buns lunch after church a few times a year, so that if we had visitors at church, we could invite them to stay. Now, how much easier would it be to do this if you were paired up with another family or two? Because together is better, right? Hospitality is a key ingredient to ministry, honestly. But here is where I want to make a very important statement. about hospitality, because some of you are sitting here thinking, oh, hospitality is a gift. It's not my gift. It's a special gift, you know, the gift of hospitality. But hospitality is not just food and it's not cooking. Hospitality is a willingness to spend time with people. Hospitality is a willingness to spend time with people, to get to know them, to ask them questions, to invest in friendships. Do you have friends? Is there anyone here who has no friends? Well, then you all know how to be hospitable. Hospitality is all about caring for people. It's a generosity towards guests and visitors and, yes, even strangers. Does it mean you need to be a super extrovert? It just means that you're willing to be friendly and to show kindness and to be a good neighbour. Actually, if I was to read these words to you, without singing them also, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. So much of this is about being hospitable. If we are disciples of Christ who exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, we will show hospitality. In a nutshell, hospitality is to make people feel welcome. There are many ways we can do that, but the end result is that people feel seen, heard, loved, and wanted. If we are not prepared to be hospitable, then we are really going to struggle with point six. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Ministry is going to be really hard if you don't understand what hospitality means. Now, I'm going to share some passages with you from the ministry of healing, because there is just, I couldn't have said it better myself. And when I read through these yesterday, I thought, I don't even know which ones I want to pick, because there's just so much gold here. So I am chopping a little bit out, or else it could have been a whole sermon. But I'm just going to read these passages to you. Luke, the writer of the gospel that bears his name, was a medical missionary. In the scriptures, he is called the beloved physician. In his work as a physician, he ministered to the sick and then prayed for the healing power of God to rest upon the afflicted ones. Thus, the way was opened for the gospel message. Luke's success as a physician gained for him many opportunities for preaching Christ among the heathen. It is the divine plan that we shall work as the disciples worked. Physical healing is bound up with the gospel commission. In the work of the gospel, teaching and healing are never to be separated. The work of the disciples was to spread a knowledge of the gospel. To them was committed the work of proclaiming all the world the good news that Christ brought to men. The giving of the gospel to the world is the work that God has committed to those who bear his name. For earth, sin and misery, the gospel is the only antidote. To make known to all mankind the message of the grace of God is the first work of those who know its healing power. When Christ sent forth the disciples with the gospel message, faith in God and his word had well nigh departed from the world. Among the Jewish people who professed to have knowledge of Jehovah, his word had been set aside for tradition and human speculation. Selfish ambition, love of ostentation, greed of gain absorbed men's thoughts. As reverence for God departed, so also departed compassion towards men. Selfishness was the ruling principle, and Satan worked his will in the misery and degradation of mankind. What is the condition of the world today? It is not faith in the Bible as effectually destroyed by the higher criticism and speculation of today as it was by the tradition and rabbinism in the day of Christ. Have not greed and ambition and love of pleasure as a stronghold on hearts today as then. In the professedly Christian world, even in the professed churches of Christ, how few are governed by Christian principles. And while the world is filled with these evils, the gospel is too often presented in so indifferent a manner as to make but little impression upon the consciences or lives of men. The world needs today what was needed 1900 years ago, a revelation of Christ. A great work of reform is demanded, and it is only through the grace of Christ that the work of restoration, physical, mental, and spiritual, can be accomplished. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Saviour mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidences. Then he bade them, "Follow me." We use that final passage a lot, but let me read you the next one, because there's something important here. There is a need of coming close to the people by personal effort. If less time were given to sermonizing and more time was spent in personal ministry, greater results would be seen. The poor are to be relieved, the sick cared for, the sorrowing and the bereaved comforted, the ignorant instructed, the inexperienced counseled. We are to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Accompanied by the power of persuasion, the power of prayer, the power of the love of God, and this work will not, cannot be without fruit. There is a need of coming close to the people by personal effort. Brené Brown writes in her book Braving the Wilderness, "Not enough of us know how to sit in pain with others. Worse, our discomfort shows up in ways that can hurt people and reinforce their own isolation. I have started to believe that crying with strangers in person could save the world." Jesus asks each one of us to go, two by two, to enter the harvest. There is a great need, a huge need. So we who profess to be disciples of Christ must keep going. We will experience great joy in ministry and great challenges. But when we do it together, we will experience great reward as we see lives healed by the power of Christ. We must be a hospitable people who are ready to come close by personal effort to those in need. Because if we haven't been hospitable and taken the time to get to know others, how on earth will you share Jesus? How will you tell them about the healer? How will you tell them about the coming kingdom? Not everyone will be receptive, it's true. But the command is to go anyway. So when we encounter those who are receptive, we stay. And when we encounter those who are truly not interested, well, then we'll look at point seven. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, "Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near." You need to know when it's time to leave. I know this point is pretty clear. We won't be able to share the gospel with everyone. There are some who just will not respond. And the advice is simple. Recognize when it's time to move on and then keep going, because there are others who do want to hear this message. Do not become discouraged. Do not see that your ministry is ineffective. Just understand that there are times when we move on and continue elsewhere, because the harvest is plentiful. And this is where two by two is definitely better, because we can feel very discouraged when we are alone and believe that we have failed. And that's why I want to finish again with the wisdom of Solomon. Two are better than one, because they do have a good return for their labour. And if one of them falls down, the other can help them up. And if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We are better together, especially when we are commanded to go. Jesus knows this, and that is why he sends his disciples two by two. I really want to encourage you today to see the harvest around you and to take seriously the command of Christ to go. Not just once, not just, oh yeah, I did that once, but to keep going. And if this is a struggle for you, then as we sing our final song today, let these words be your prayer. Because Jesus said, ask. Ask for more labourers. Ask. Let the cry of our hearts be to see the harvest, to understand the nearness of God's kingdom, and to see the need that is in our communities, in our nation. The people around us are in need, and so we can go two by two. We can bring healing to the sick, and we can proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near to them today.